I'd like you to just bow your head with me. Because without him, we're going to do it with flesh. But with him, we're going to do it under the anointing. So, Father, I humble myself before you. And I ask that you would just release grace to each and every heart to let us hear what your Spirit is really speaking. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord woke me up quite early this morning. And many times when he wakes me up, I question, what is it that he wants? And I was to get up and I was to take communion. And I did. And he brought me to 2 Timothy. And the scripture that I got was not what we're going to be talking about, but he gave me a very strange weekend so far. How many know you have strange things happen to you sometimes that you don't understand? And as I was resting with the Lord a few minutes before I came up here, I was reminded that God has his plan for every single one of you. And there is no individual that's left out. This past week, well, I should back this up, because I didn't know if I was going to share this or not, but I think it's important for you to hear. God will use all kinds of things to awaken in you what he wants and how he wants it done. There was a dinner that was being served at the New Divine Mercy Church in Three Rivers. And my wife had asked me a few weeks ago to remind myself not to plan on anything for that Saturday, because that Saturday night she was going to go out with her cousins and her friends and they were going to have dinner together. They had already bought tickets. Well, as God's plan would unfold, her cousin ended up with a problem in her body and challenged in her back to such a degree that she could no longer attend the dinner. So on Friday afternoon, she and my wife had communication, and so my wife said, well, would you like to use Pat's ticket to go to the dinner? And I was in the other end of the house, and I began to pray in the Spirit, because I'm afraid to respond out of my brain. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Respond out of your... My first reaction in the flesh was to pray. Because if I didn't pray, I would have ended up responding out of my flesh. And as I prayed, I heard my mouth say, yes, dear. So I said, okay, this should be interesting. Now, the Lord knows why he does things. I don't always know why he's doing it. And this was no exception. So, she called me when the mass service was completed, and I met her at the hall. And there's 200 and something people there. And obviously some very familiar faces. And I'm sure some that were looking like, okay, what do we do with this one? And I'm not trying to be facetious or nasty. It's just, the Lord had given me a word before I got there. As I was driving over, because I'm praying now, saying, okay, God, what are you doing with me? And I had a little bit of a vision. And this is not to advertise me. But he was trying to teach me something. And I saw the Lord standing up in the synagogue declaring who he was. And I said, oh, my God, Lord, please, please don't do this. But he was trying to let me know that there is no respect for the man of God in his hometown, because they know all about you. They know every failure you've ever had. They know everything that you've ever done that was wrong, because after all, they know what they know. I mean, this is the carpenter's son. And we know his mother. And we know his family. So who does he think he is? Close your eyes, please. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father God, you're the one that knows me. You're the one that has declared that I am an anointed vessel by the Holy Ghost to preach the good news to the poor, to send signs and wonders with healing and deliverance to every person in the kingdom and those that have been called to the kingdom. And I will preach the good news. And I will give them joy. The joy that Jesus gave to me.
I'll give it to them
freely. Even if they have a problem with me.
Including my hometown.
So I obviously walked into the front door because there was a parking place. And when I walked in, I was expecting to use the back door. And you know, you come into a room and there's 200 people and they're all busy. And obviously, to the Lord, I said, where's my wife? And you know, I screened the room just like I'm sure they were all screening me. Okay? How many know you can melt? It doesn't take very long. You feel yourself melting. So I prayed in the Spirit, my tool, my weapon. And as I did, I saw my wife standing, and she was fortunately not far. So I made my way to the table, and she said, we're going to sit here with the family. Well, God had me sitting with people that were part of the prayer group. People that were filled with the Holy Ghost at those meetings. And then I saw later on, as the dinner was being served and there was other things going on, I heard my wife say to one of the ladies, because she had been disappointed. Something had happened in her family and had shaken her. And she said, look at what God is doing. Look at how God is changing what you expected that was so bad into something good. And at that moment, I knew why I was there. See, at that moment, I saw seeds of life were being imparted to someone else by the one that has been called by God to be there, yet for a season. Not for my season, not for my satisfaction, but for Father's plan to unfold. You say, why would God do that? Because he thinks he's God. And not only does he think he's God, he knows he's God. And there are some circumstances and people that you don't like, and it's okay for you not to like it. Amen? So God has an anointing on those that he has chosen to be where he wants them, not where you want them. And it's for his glory and his purpose, because I know that when that word came out of my wife, it was a word that shattered the darkness in this lady. Because you could see the fear had just grasped her mind, because her mind was already into torment. Now, how many know we are all a little bit selfish? Oh, okay. Some of us are a little more than selfish. We're, wanting more. But the Lord was reminding me, look and see what I'm doing. Look and see, and don't look at yourself. Look at what I have done, and look what I'm still doing, and it's not a problem for me. But if it is for you, you're the only one that's going to go on that pity party. That would have been a perfect time for an amen.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You see, we're living in the last days, and sometimes we would like to change things because we're not happy with the way they are. But God is sovereign. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Those of you who have listened to the CD from the Florida Experience know that John Paul Jackson talked about a perfect storm. And the perfect storm is designed to bring people to the Lord. It's not designed to destroy people. But it is designed for hardships to make manifest the need for Christ and His anointing and His love and His peace and His joy. So in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Now that's quite an incredible word coming from St. Paul, who was a part of this stuff from a religious standpoint for years. There are times that the Lord will take you and make you see yourself and where you were and where you lived, how you thought, and how even some that you're connected to are still living in whatever type of selfishness behavior, whatever type of way of mannerism that they're in, and not to be concerned, but that to intercede as the Spirit tells you. See, if you're in intercession while they're having a hard time, what's going to happen? Your priesthood will develop. You'll begin to have compassion for them, because if you have an ounce of love, God will use that ounce of love to continue to pray for them until they're changed and delivered. And it takes time. It's not done overnight. Amen? Verse 6. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of these men, or those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So who's going to expose this darkness? God will. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, and faith, and patience, my love, endurance, and persecution, and sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Do you hear that part? The Lord rescued me from all of them. This is an assurance word. This is a sure word from the Lord. That out of the hardships that you're living in, out of the hopeless circumstances, the Lord will deliver you out of all of them. And you know what? The Lord doesn't mind you reminding Him of this. There were times that I had to purpose to say to the Lord, I don't understand right now why this persecution is so intense. I'm not very happy with it. But you will deliver me out of this. You're the only one that can do that. Are you ready for the next level of persecution? Well, if you're in Christ, you've already been prepared. If you're in the anointing, God will give you that grace that you'll stop worrying for nothing. How many know you can drive yourself into the ground by worrying? Thank you. You know, all that is seeds of fear. And the more you bow to fear, you will become a slave to fear. Romans 6:16 says, to whom you bow to, you become a slave. So the more you fear, the more you bow to fear, the more you serve fear, the less peace of mind and heart that you will have. So, if you're going to be tested, it's okay to be tested. Will you like it? No. Will it be comfortable? No. Just like the prophetic word that was just given, that there's going to be legalistic individuals that may come and sit right here. And if they come here, they will definitely have a problem with me. You know why? We're free. That will cause jealousy. It will irritate. Just like when Paul was becoming the sanctified man of God, the Jews couldn't stand him anymore. Lazarus rose out of the grave, and they made plans to get rid of him, along with Jesus. After all, if we can get rid of these two, we'll have freedom again. We're about to lose our position. We're about to lose everything we've ever worked for. After all, the Romans took everything away, but we still have the temple. And we still got control of the people. Anybody relate? See, while religious forces are controlling individuals, there will be jealousy. There will be people in your walk with God that will be an irritation to you. And they're designed by God to what? Is it designed by God to destroy or to build you into a new place? To build. Your priesthood has to be involved. In other words, you're going to have to see their sin and you're going to have to walk before God and say, you know what, Lord? They're unbelievers right now. They can't see straight. So, Father, would you forgive them? They don't have a clue what they're doing to me. Amen? That's your priesthood. Didn't Jesus ask God to forgive those who whipped him? Crucified him, put nails in his hands and in his feet. What did he do? He gave them freedom. St. Paul wanted to go back to Jerusalem for the Passover. Yeah. And here the prophet of God says, you're going to get tied down. You're going to get beat up. You're going to even end up in jail. Don't go. And what did Paul say? What?
Au revoir.
Yeah, au revoir. I'm going to Jerusalem anyway. Because I know I got to go. And I know that prison awaits me. It's okay. I can be a prisoner for the Lord. If persecution is allowed to come, then he's already provided what?
A way out.
A way out. A way above it. A way higher. Amen? If hardship is allowed to come, a way higher is available. And it takes courage to use it. It takes courage to expound on what God has promised instead of what you feel. Amen? Okay. The Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Oh, I wish that wasn't written in there. But if my copy of the word is truth, it says everyone. How many of you have tasted a little bit? Thank you. And you know what? You're getting stronger. And you will continue gaining strength as you allow it. Let's go back a little bit. 13. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, that's the last days. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, so the Word will make you wise, for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, 16 should have a circle around it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. It's also useful for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Does that include the woman of God? So you're being trained. By whom? By God. Where is he working from? Right inside your belly. His Spirit is inside of you, working out everything for his good. And that includes persecution, hardships, difficulties of all kinds, so that you can become the overcomer that he's called you to be. And it will be according to the callings and giftings that are in you. You say, why is it so tough on me and not so much on my neighbor? Because their calling is different than you. So don't try to compare yourself. A.M. The Lord took me. Go back one page. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting at verse 9, part B. This grace, find this grace, was given us in Christ Jesus. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. The grace to what? To go through. The grace to become the man and woman of God that you've been called to be. And it was put in you before the beginning of time. How can that be? Because you are spirit beings, created in Christ Jesus at the beginning of all things. You were placed in a spiritual body of believers in the realm of the Spirit. When all of creation was taking place, Christ was there. He was crucified on that cross at that time. And you were in Him corporately as a body. You were in Him as a corporate body, to be made and molded and fashioned into the image of the Most High. You'll never be the Most High, but you will be like Him. And you'll have His attributes flowing through you. That's what that scripture says. So the moment you start saying, oh, I want out of here. Chicken. You know, death can be a gift for some people. I'm not kidding. I've seen people make covenants with death. Oh, if I was only dead, then all my problems would be over, you dummy. All your problems would just be beginning. Doesn't the scripture say, thou shalt not kill? All right. You know, people use suicide as a tool.
Oh, my God, I've got so much pain.
Don't feel sorry for them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. That's not denying that they're in pain. I'm not denying that the darkness isn't having a hearty place with them. But you see, as you intercede, you will have the power to change their future. And if they've been called into the kingdom,
How else is God going to get somebody's attention to intercede for them? Why do you think you're so broken over someone that's having a hard time? Come on. Why? Because God has a plan for you to pray. That's your job. Your priesthood is to intercede. If Jesus is still doing it, what's wrong with you and me? If Jesus is still doing that, he's the high priest. He's the first of many what? Brothers.
Oh, man, you got me preaching, Lord.
Yeah, you catching on? Huh?
I was going to say.
Are you catching on? Are you catching on why you're here? It's not just to have you feel good about yourself. It's about you interceding for them. Somebody prayed you into the kingdom. I got to hear an amen on that one. Thank you. I want you to again. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, the good news is that you'll never die if you believe in the believer. And his name is Christ Jesus. You're never going to die. You will never taste death. Does that mean this flesh might enter heaven without going to the grave? Absolutely. Absolutely. So why is it so hard for you to believe that the enemy's upset? Not very hard. He wants you in the grave as early as possible. And God says, I'm going to take you through to victory. Not by your own strength, by his strength. Not by your own anointing, but by his anointing. By the same Holy Ghost who began a good work in you, and he will finish it. And your accuser, Romans 8. Who is he? This little piece of equipment that you have sitting on top of your shoulders. That's where your accusing forces work. In your brain. In your mind, your emotions. Don't cut it off. You need it. You really do need it.
Not some days.
Well, let's say it this way. It needs to be renewed.
Yeah.
Okay? It needs to be reintroduced to the Word. Close your eyes. You've had enough.
Lord Jesus, I ask that you would just, by your Spirit, make this alive to them. Make this truth confirmed inside their hearts so that they'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's an awesome plan unfolding for every person that's in their heart. Every single tear that they have ever cried for their children, their friends, their families. Father, none of those tears are wasted. Not one.
They're put in a special container before the Father, and he looks at the heart of those who are interceding and says, yes, I love you. Don't stop interceding. Don't stop praying for them. And God will have his way. Through you and through me, Chicopee's going to change. New England's going to change. The East Coast is going to change.
And it's going to be radically changed by the same Holy Spirit who began the work in you that he's doing in me. Lift your hands to him. Say, Father, I rejoice. My priesthood is getting stronger.
And those hard people that I'm dealing with, forgive them, Lord. They don't have a clue. They don't understand. They don't comprehend what they're doing to me. But you do. You're driving me right to the foot of the cross. And I call upon the blood of Jesus Christ to wash their sins away, to bring them to salvation, to bring them to deliverance, to bring them to life eternal
by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, it's done.
It's done.
Look at your neighbor. Say, it's done.
It's done.
sharing some hugs with each other. And I want to remind you that Greg Perkins will be with us next Sunday.